This is the evening sermon from Hillcrest Chapel in Portland, Oregon. Pastor Gary W. Custis is preaching. For more information on Hillcrest Chapel, please visit our website at www.hillcrestchapel.org.
Christians are to be wise. The scriptures speak eloquently to this issue, and we are to walk in wisdom. In Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16, it says, "Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil." You might look at this and say, well, what does it mean to be wise? And some have set forth the meaning of wisdom in contrast to knowledge. And they say knowledge is an understanding of the truth. And wisdom is applying that truth to life. And I think there's some merit to that. Clearly, in this passage, wisdom is related to walking. "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise." So this, whatever wisdom is, it's done when you're walking, when you're living your life. The way life is to be lived day by day, it is involved in the direction and the progress of the life you live. And also, if you look at this passage in Ephesians, let me just read the part that comes before this. It's related to the subject we've been talking about in our morning service, and that is light. And you'll notice in verses 7 through 14, and the verses I read in Ephesians were verses 15 and 16, but first it talks about the light, and as if the light needs to be turned on in order that you walk in wisdom, you walk in the light. But look at verse 7 and following. It says, "Therefore do not be partakers with them." Who are the them? Well, the them in this passage are the ones who are walking according to this world. And you talk about all their characteristics in verses 3 and 4. But we're not to walk like those who walk in this world. "Do not be partakers with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you." So you have, when you read that passage and then you continue with, "See that you walk circumspectly, so walk as wise, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time." When you see that passage, you recognize that the light for walking is the light that comes from the Lord. And you say, well, yes, we understand that. And first, the light that comes from the Lord is impressed upon our hearts. And there's a step-by-step process when you think about how the light of God affects us. But the first thing that happens is that our heart is enlightened by the Word of God. So that we say, aha, I understand. I see. I acknowledge the truth. And that's an inward, personal understanding of the light. And the light of truth that shines in our hearts then shines on our pathway before us. So that we are to walk in the light. And what guides our lives is not just what we think is wise, but what God thinks is wise. The light comes from Him. And so it's perfect for the Apostle Paul, it's perfect for the Holy Spirit to say the light that is from Christ, the light that He shines on you, Christ will shine upon you, Christ will give you the light, is the light that you walk in wisdom. And so we as Christians say, well, first in the heart, then in the life. You say, well, how do you find the light? And the source of light, the source of truth, we all know is God. And God revealed himself in Jesus Christ. That's the most perfect, that is the most perfect expression of the truth of God, is Jesus Christ himself. And then second to that is the Word of God, the Bible. And it's not that the Bible is less, it's that Jesus is the fullness of deity who dwells in him, and God has then recorded and given us the truth that we might understand in the Word of God. So we have the Scriptures as the source of the light that God shines. So he reveals himself by his Holy Spirit, and God is light, God is truth, and God is the origin of light and truth. And then God gives us light and gives us truth so that we will know him and walk in wisdom. So walking in wisdom is the responsibility of Christians by the provision and the power of God. Now, having said that, from Ephesians, which is the clear direction of this passage, I want to go back to an amazing passage in Proverbs chapter 8. And I want to look at this passage of Scripture. This is a text of Scripture which speaks of the significance of wisdom. And in this passage, if you look at the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 1 through 9, chapters 1 through 9, is really an introduction to the book. The whole of that passage is. And it's talking about the importance and the significance of wisdom. And certainly advice and counsel is given, but there's sort of the wisdom of this world, of God versus the ways of this world. The wisdom of God versus the ways of this world. And there's sort of a contrast in that. And the whole passage of this one, chapters 1 through 9, is to show the significance and the importance of being wise. Being wise in your life. And then in chapters 10 through 29, you have the Proverbs of Solomon. And then in chapter 30, you have the words of Agur. And then in chapter 31, you have the words of Lemuel. But these are the wisdom. So first it talks about, it's like saying, this is really important. Now let me give you the Proverbs. And you'll notice that the Proverbs deal with how you live life. It's like counsel and advice. And the Proverbs are designed for fools. And I want to say this carefully because I don't want to humiliate the teenagers in our midst. But the book of Proverbs is written for young people. And it's written for young people, and there's really two kinds of fools. And the young people in our midst are the second kind of fools. The fools that are mentioned are ones who are adamantly opposed to the truth, the foolish by the pursuit of wickedness. And then we are all in that second category of fools because we require wisdom. We don't come, so to speak, with our canisters of our mind all filled with the wisdom, all the wisdom that we need for life. We come and we need to have wisdom for life. And so the fool of the one who needs learning and needs instruction is the fool that is addressed in Proverbs. And Solomon addressed his own children, and he looks at his children and he said, "You need wisdom for your life." And then the instruction that is given here, though, is not just for teenagers or young people, but it's given for us as well, because it always gives us wisdom for life. And we always say, oh, there's greater wisdom to be found in the book of Proverbs and in the Proverbs that are given by Solomon. So it's a wonderful presentation of truth for life. And wonderful for young people. And there are 31 chapters in Proverbs. Some people like to read a chapter every day. And you can do it and get through the book of Proverbs in a month. Unless it's February. 30 days have September, April, June, and November. Except those months. Then you have to read two chapters in one of those. But all the rest have, the months have 31. And so you can you can read through the book of Proverbs and gain wisdom. That's what it's designed for. What is interesting to me is in chapter 8, you have the personification of wisdom. And the personification of wisdom means that wisdom speaks like a person. And the first part of this passage, wisdom is crying out. He's calling for people to walk. She is calling for people to walk in wisdom. And then there's some promises that are given then about the ways of wisdom. And the first, that calling part, is the first 11 verses. And then there's, in verses 12 through 21, you have the way of wisdom, certain promises and characteristics of wisdom. But the passage I want us to look at is in verses 22 through 31. I'm going to read the other parts too. But in verses 22 through 31, it's fascinating, because it talks about the origin of wisdom. And it's a passage of Scripture that the philosophers should read. You say, why would you say the philosopher should read? Well, the philosophers are looking for this. The premise of philosophy is, first off, there is no God in the Bible. You take your Bible, you throw it out the window. You take God, you throw him out the window. And then you just say, I'm just a living organism here in this life. Where do I get truth? How do I know that there is truth? Where do I get good and bad, right and wrong? Where do I get that I should do this and I should not do that? Where do I get ethics and morality? Where do I know about beauty and what is ugly? How do I know these things? And so the philosopher first turns and he says, well, let's look to people. So let's all vote. Because I can have my own idea, and we can. We're made in the image of God, therefore we have thoughts about God. We have thoughts about right and wrong, we have the thought of God, we have the sense of right and wrong in our own hearts, and the sense of the judgment to come. So based upon those things in our hearts, we can have a certain system of morality. We can make our own morality. The animals don't have any sense of morality, but man can, because you have those things written upon our hearts. So naturally, in the heart, there are certain things that man will look at and say, ooh, that's not good, that's bad. And he'll look at others and say, oh, that's good. So man thinks, because he has that sense of bad and good in his heart, sense of right and wrong, that he can devise a whole plan of morality. But then you have the problem with, what if I devise my plan and my plan is different from your plan? So that's confusing. Well, let's get everyone together and we'll vote. And we'll vote on the best plan. But then the philosopher would say, well, that's true, but then everybody can vote, but then everybody can change everybody's mind. So that, there's no assurance that that's where you get truth from. Where is truth? Where is this standard of truth that we're looking for that is absolute, never changes? Where is this rock of foundation on which the whole of morality and ethics and truth rests? Where is this? And so the philosophers over time has looked. They felt science and technology would help us to find this truth. The astronauts went up. They circled the Earth. The Russian astronaut, I've told you before, looked around, said, I look for God, could not find him. I look for truth, cannot find, you know, and so you could look somewhere else just other than just the outer surface of our Earth, you know, but he looked and didn't find God. And the philosophers looked, and they cannot find it. And so in our day, we've come to a place where people say, well, the philosophers say, well, we cannot find truth, but we've lived this long without it, we can do without it. So it's sort of just kind of giving up. You say, well, we just live without truth. We just don't know. We will never know, so let's just live, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Proverbs gives a different picture of that. And what's interesting to me is, you know, we always think that truth is progressive and that wisdom is progressive. At least I do. And I always say, if you have to play a game of Trivial Pursuit in heaven, make sure the Apostle Paul is on your team. Don't pick Noah. If you pick Noah, Well, he's already gone to his theology classes in heaven because he's had been there for many years. But if you pick Noah, and Noah just has to know what he knew on earth, the Apostle Paul knows much more about Scripture and much more about the truth than Isaiah or David or Abraham or Noah. So you want to pick the Apostle Paul if he played Trivial Pursuit about things upon the earth in heaven. And you sort of get the idea that the people, and that we are maybe smarter. Everyone is smarter today than people were back then. This is totally amazing. This passage, it ought to jump off the page at us, because Solomon could just write this whole chapter without verses 22 through 31. Because he basically is saying, wisdom is calling to you, and wisdom will provide certain blessings. If you walk in wisdom, you will be blessed. That's all you really need to know. But then he says more than that. He talks about the origin of wisdom. He talks about, well, where do you find this wisdom? Because it's important to know that. We already said in the New Testament, where you find wisdom in God. That's what the light shines on us. The light that shines on us is the light of wisdom that we are to walk in. That's what it says in Ephesians. But notice this passage, and I want to just read, I'll read it in sections, but let me read these first 11 verses, which is an interesting picture, because, you know, we want to say to our kids, we want to say, well, you need to be wise. Well, it's a whole lot different to say, wisdom is calling to you. Say, wisdom is calling to us? Well, it's like, this is like a woman, and you have, in this passage, there's a contrast between the richness of the wisdom of this woman versus the immoral woman. So there's a contrast between the two. And having dealt with the immoral woman and saying, do not follow her ways, and it's not only talking about the immorality of that woman, but also just the ways of this world. I mean, it speaks of both of those issues. But there's this immoral woman that calls. And it says that the young man who listens to the immoral woman, hears the call, goes, and he's like an ox going to the slaughter. But now you have another woman that's calling. And so it's Solomon being wise in the way in which he presents this. But the other woman that's calling is wisdom calling. And so here you have these words. Does not wisdom cry out? And understanding lift up her voice. She takes her stand on the top of the high hill, beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates, at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. To you, O men, I call. Now here you're going to hear her voice. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence. Now, this prudence is define some words here. Prudence is, the word really means to see ahead. And it refers to exercising good judgment. Seeing ahead, and therefore exercising good judgment or sensible decisions. You see what is ahead, so you make wise decisions, good decisions. As you see, oh, simple ones, understand prudence. And you fools, be of an understanding heart. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things. From the opening of my lips will come right things, for my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. It means all the words of my mouth measure up to the holy standard of God, righteous. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands and right to those who find knowledge. So now you know that this wisdom is crying out, and she's crying out with words of knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. So this is wisdom crying out. Saying, listen, you need wisdom for this life. And it's the personification of this wisdom. Here's this woman, she's crying out. Unlike the other woman who is a woman of unrighteousness and wickedness, now this one is crying. And so we say, as Christians, we say, I need to listen. I need to hear this voice, this one crying out. So then, you have certain promises that are given, and the way of wisdom is described. First, the call to hear, the call of wisdom, and then says, verse 12, wisdom, dwell with prudence. So you know that wisdom is always seeing ahead. The wisdom of this world is a wisdom for today. A life, I shouldn't use the word wisdom, but it's looking at today without even considering future consequences. Just what do I want right now? What I want right now is most important to me. I'll take whatever I know. Are you seeing ahead of where this will take? Oh, no, I just want what I want right now. Give me mine, what I want. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. I, wisdom, always looking ahead, seeing what is before me. And find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I walk in the way of the righteous, in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, and that they may find their treasures. Their treasuries. You look at this and you say, that's talking about certain things about wisdom, what wisdom is. Wisdom is knowledge. Wisdom is discretion. Wisdom is seeing ahead. And wisdom is the truth of God that recognizes that there is this good and evil, and it hates the evil, and it takes the good. And it's a wisdom for life because it's what the kings and the princes and the judges use when they engage in their lives and in the rightful use of those lives. And it speaks of the blessing. And the blessing is more than silver and gold, but it talks about silver and gold here in this passage. It's sort of interesting when it speaks of these things. It says, but if all you have in this life is silver and gold, then you have nothing. Because whatever you have in this life, you're leaving here. But if you have the treasure of wisdom, that you take with you. That is yours forever. And that's why it says, get the wisdom, the truth, and the knowledge that you get from God. But get that truth for your life. Now it's just talking about wisdom in a general sense here. It's not being very specific. It's not talking about what is wisdom. But this book is packed with wisdom. And as you look through all the Proverbs, you're going to see all the wisdom. And sometimes you see Proverbs that conflict with each other. It says, do not rebuke a fool. And then a few verses later, it says, rebuke a fool. I feel like saying, wait a second. It says, don't rebuke a fool, now rebuke a fool. What am I supposed to do? And the answer is, you're supposed to be wise. There's times to rebuke a fool. There's times not to rebuke a fool. You need to know. That requires wisdom. The whole thing is about wisdom. Not only what wisdom is, but what wisdom does. So there's times when someone is very foolish and you hold your tongue because you're speaking to someone who is willfully disobedient. There's other times when they're a fool and you say, this is the way of wisdom. And you're to be wise. The whole point is to be wise. You're to have the knowledge of God, and then you're to take the knowledge of God that shines on the pathway, and you are to be wise in the way in which you live. But then look at this section. So he talks about this wisdom in a general way, and then he's going to jump into the substance of that wisdom in chapter 10 and following. But then this passage is so wonderful. Because when you read this, you think, is wisdom the fourth person in the, well, it wouldn't be a triune God, it'd be the fourth. It's talking like there's someone else here. But the answer, no, this wisdom is the truth that forever exists in God. Notice this statement. And this is something that I look at this and say, how in the world would Solomon know this and know to say this? And I think, oh, that's right. This is the Word of God. This is the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Of course, you're going to have this great revelation. But it says, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of His way. I think that has to be speaking at the beginning of the way with reference to creation, because he refers a lot to that here in this passage, because there is no beginning with the Lord. Before His works of old. So he's speaking at the beginning. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of His way. You want to talk about someone who walks in wisdom? That's the Lord. The Lord possessed me. I have been established from everlasting. From the beginning, before there was ever an earth. It has to be that way for truth to be absolute. That truth has to forever exist in God for truth to be absolute. And the reason for that is if God's truth is a changing truth, then it's not absolute, it's changing. One of the definitions of absolute truth is it never changes. Another thing about absolute truth, therefore, it has to be forever. There's a lot of characteristics that you have just by way of definition in what is absolute, what is truth that is forever truth. Well, it has to be forever. And it has to be forever true. It has to be never changing. There's a lot of characteristics of truth, but that's what he says here in this passage. This is what the philosophers were looking for and what they are looking for, and they cannot find it because they cannot find God. But the Lord possessed me. At the beginning of His way, before His works of old, I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning before there was ever an earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet He had not made the earth or the fields or the primeval dust of the world, when He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He drew a circle on the face of the deep, when He established the clouds above, when He strengthened the fountains of the deep, when He assigned to the sea its limits so that the waters would not transgress His command, when He marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside Him as a master craftsman. And I was daily His delight. Rejoicing always before Him, rejoicing in His inhabited world, rejoicing in the world, and my delight was in the sons of men. That's an astounding passage of Scripture. That is something that Solomon, I know Solomon is the wisest man forever, but the wisest man forever would never know this truth if it weren't revealed to him by God. He says, at the beginning of the creation, I, wisdom, was there. What that... You know, people want to know, and they say, well, there's no way that this world is so complex that, as we mentioned this morning in the morning service, the scientists who just can't buy into, you know, that things exploded into order. And you have this intricate design of the created world that we live in. Intricate design. It's not just design and that you see that everything seems to be in order as you look about, but you start taking things apart or you start looking at the magnitude of this and the immensity of this universe, that you see in every place you see intricate, precise design. And finally, these intelligent design scientists who are risking their whole career because it's not wise to do this, but they just say, this cannot happen by chance. It just cannot be. And we don't know where this design, the designer is. We don't know where this is, but you cannot have this kind of order without having someone who is wiser, someone who has immense power to put this all in place. And lo and behold, you open up the Bible, and here it talks about not only that the Lord is creator, but it talks about how he created with wisdom. Where did he get the wisdom? It's always with him. That's the whole point. The truth and the wisdom is what God possesses, and you want to see the expression of wisdom, look at our world and the way in which it's created. Look at the design. We live in a broken world. It's fallen. But even in its broken state, the design of the designer shines through so that you can even see him. But we don't wake up every morning to a different world. You say, I know, every morning it's raining here in Oregon. Well, you know, that's true for a little while. The summer will come in July. But, you know, we look at this world, but it isn't like you wake up in the morning and things are just floating around. We say, well, what happened to gravity? Oh, that was yesterday. Today there's no gravity, so we're all floating. And then we start bloating up because, what is going on? Every day we wake up to a new day, and the order of the universe is different every day. You say, no, that's not the way it is. We live in a world. And the sameness of our world is because of the wisdom of God, because he created the world with order and design and wisdom. And it's his design, and it's just written all over everything. And without it, this world, it cannot exist. It's impossible that it would ever come to be. It's impossible that it would ever hold in place. It would just never, it could never happen. And here is this wisdom, the personification of wisdom, speaking and said, you know, before this world was created, I was with him. In fact, from everlasting, I was with him. Because when you look for wisdom, you're looking for that which eternally exists in God. And it is God's wisdom that created this world. So when you see the intricate design of this world as a scientist, you ought to get down on your knees and say, glory to be to God. How anyone could be this smart, this intelligent, this knowledgeable. For all of this wisdom and knowledge to be in the mind of God makes God so immense that whatever your thought of the immensity of God, your God is way too small. That's all I'll say. The mind of God, the our thoughts about him, we can never really fully understand him. You know, he has everything under his control. He is the one who ordered this whole universe. It's specifically designed in his wisdom. And then man sins and walks away. And what's amazing is that God really should just take the whole thing and say, this design has been corrupted. I'm going to crunch this all up, destroy it, and make it new. But instead, what he has is wisdom crying from the street saying, you need to listen to me. I'm wisdom. And as sinful men, we look at wisdom, we say, well, who are you? I want to tell you about the order and design of this whole universe. I want to tell you about, you're living in God's world that operates on the basis of his laws and his rules. And there's righteousness and there's unrighteousness in this world. And wisdom is crying out and calling out, saying, you need to follow me. Listen to me. What's interesting is that wisdom cries out and even cries out to us as Christians. And sometimes we listen and sometimes we don't. But that's the way Proverbs pictures this. This wisdom, this personification of wisdom is really crying out, says, hear the word of the Lord. Because the word of the Lord is infinitely wise. This book is infinitely wise. People can try to tear apart Scripture and say bad things about Scripture, but Scripture is given by a God who is infinitely wise, and this is as infinitely wise as, and even more so than anything that God has ever created in this physical universe. And we get our wisdom and our direction from Him. And it's sort of when you look at the world, you look at our world and you say, our world is just walking in darkness. And we look at the crimes that are taking place and the things I don't like to read about the news. I don't like to see the news or anything else because it's just some bizarre kind of thing taking place. I read some atrocities that took place just recently in Nigeria. And it's just like, oh my goodness, it's just man's inhumanity to man and the wickedness and the sinfulness and the immorality and everything else. And you look at all this and you say, where is wisdom crying out? This world needs wisdom. Wisdom is crying out. Crying out here in Scripture. Crying out through Christians. We are the ones who God has taken His light and put His light in us, and we are lights. And we're to walk according to this wisdom. You say, well, the world doesn't live this way. This is not how the world goes about looking at life. The world has a different way. And therefore, as Christians, we need to sort of walk halfway between the world and the... And I say, no, we live in God's world. It's all His world. It's all His truth. And our purpose is to see this wisdom that God has given and to walk in that wisdom. So notice how this passage comes to a conclusion. It's just... Here's wisdom speaking again. Now therefore... Verse 32, listen to me, my children, listen to me. For blessed are those who keep my ways, hear instruction and be wise. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own life, wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. That's why when wisdom cries out, it says the same thing that the psalmist said in Psalm chapter 1. There's two kinds of people in this world. Those that walk in the truth and those that do not walk in the truth. Those who walk in wisdom and those who do not walk in wisdom. Those who know the Lord Jesus Christ and those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who know God, those who do not know God. There's two kinds of ways. And here's wisdom. It's kind of pitiful. Wisdom crying out, listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. There's blessing. Keep my ways and heed them. Don't neglect them. Listen to me. You'll find life. You'll find favor with the Lord, from the Lord. And the warning is he who sins or he who misses. He who sins, he who misses this wisdom. Missing the mark. Misses against the soul. I think a good interpretation for that would be misses. But he who sins against me misses. Wrongs his own soul. When people say, well, you know, I don't really want the Bible. I don't want what, you know, you Christians have, and you guys live according to the Bible. You got all these rules and laws that you have, and you live according to that truth. And I don't want it. I want to be free. You're free to walk in darkness, and you're free to embrace death. It's free to walk in disobedience to God. Wisdom cries out. And you look at this and you say, well, yes, we know this. But it's just wonderful to see. It's like, I just love the way Scripture pulls things apart. I always like to think of that as Scripture pulling things apart. And here you have God sort of pulling apart. And when you pull God apart, so to speak, what you see is this wisdom in every part of His being. Wisdom that is forever. Truth that is forever. And this God who is the truth says, walk in my truth. Walk in my wisdom. That's where you'll find life. That's where you will find righteousness. That's where you'll find joy and happiness. Walk with me. And that's really the cry of Scripture. But it's just wonderful to see this personification of wisdom crying out to us. We live in a world of darkness, but we don't live according to this world. That's what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians. That's the way the world is. Don't be like that. Don't walk in their ways. But walk in wisdom. Whose wisdom? Where do you get that wisdom from? You get it from God. You get it from the heart of God. You get it from the truth. And God, when He reveals wisdom, He speaks His truth to us. He's telling us the truth that we need for our ethics, for our morality, for the pathway of life, to know what is good and what is bad and what is right and what is wrong. And all of that is truth that God gives to us. It's not like we become good people and so we go out and live good lives because we have to figure out what a good life is. The Lord tells us what is good, and He tells us what is right, and He tells us to be wise. And it's just wonderful to see this introduction of wisdom instead of just saying, you need to be wise with your life, so I'm going to give you a bunch of principles so that you can be wise. But it says you need to be wise for your life because this wisdom resides really forever in the heart of God. And it is that wisdom that He created this world, and it's with that wisdom that He sets the pathway before you. And that's the pathway on which we are to walk. So it's great encouragement. It's great encouragement to say, well, I'm going to seek out that wisdom. If you seek out that wisdom, you're going to be reading your Bible. You're going to be hearing and reading the Word of God because you're never going to find a source of wisdom anywhere that is as revealed and pure as this. This is God's Word. And I like it. It was R.C. Sproul Jr., and I've said this before many times, but if you want to hear the voice of God, read your Bible out loud. Because this is the voice of God. This is God speaking to us. This is what God, in all of His wisdom, wants us to know. And He says, hear my truth. And I want you to know this, not for your ruin. I want you to know this for your good and for life and for righteousness and for truth. So may we walk in a manner that is pleasing to God. It's amazing that any of us living in this world can be righteous. It's a miracle that any of us can be good. You say, well, none of us. There's none righteous, no, not one, there's none. I'm just saying, because God has given us His Word, because God changes our hearts, because God has given us His Holy Spirit, it's amazing that we can be lights in this world of darkness. It's amazing. That's a miracle. Just that one of us, even one, would be a light that shines in this world of darkness. That's amazing. But the fact is, we're all doing that. Because that's what God has said. I want you to walk in this world where everybody is going that way, I want you to walk in my wisdom. And wisdom is screaming out, is crying, hear me, find me, walk in the truth. Hear the word of the Lord and be obedient. It's a wonderful passage of Scripture. And I encourage you to read through the book of Proverbs and read the introduction. I'll read it all at one time. It's a great passage to read, Proverbs 1 through 9. Just read the whole thing, and just it's this raging battle between the wisdom of God and the foolishness of this world. And may God give us the strength and the power and the wisdom to walk in faithfulness and the prudence to see ahead, to walk in wisdom with Him. Our challenge in life is to seek, to find the wisdom of God in the Word of God, and by His grace and by His strength and by His power and by His provision, not only to have the light in our hearts, but to have the light in our pathway and to walk in the light. God help us. We need His help to be obedient to Him. Let us bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are the forever source of truth and the forever source of wisdom. There is no other source of wisdom other than You. You created this world in wisdom. And for sinful man to look at this world and say, it just happened, is an affront to the wisdom of God, Your wisdom. When You created this world, wisdom was in You. And You created this world with intricate design and intricate wisdom. And before the earth was ever, before the creation was, wisdom was forever in you. And Lord, we pray that you will help us to walk in your wisdom, to walk in the truth. You have saved us not to walk in this world according to the world. You have saved us to walk in this world according to your wisdom. Guide us in the truth. Cause us to walk in a manner that is pleasing in your sight. Open our eyes to see the truth. Teach that truth to our hearts. Communicate that truth that is in our hearts to our lives. And may we live in such a manner that reflects the truth that we know, that reflects the truth that is in your heart. And may we live in a manner that brings glory and honor to your name. We pray that you will strengthen us. This is the impossible for us, made possible by your grace, made possible by your power, made possible by the new heart that you have placed within us, made possible by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. Help us to walk in the truth. Guide us day by day that we might live for you. And as the world is in darkness, we pray that you will turn the lights on in this world. But turn the lights on in our own hearts and cause us to walk in the truth. So strengthen us to live for you. Strengthen our hearts as we go forth from this place to walk in wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. In addition to our website, hillcrestchapel.org, you can also follow us on Facebook or Twitter under Hillcrest Chapel or subscribe to the podcast in iTunes.